attendance at my high school's annual senior class award assembly. Sitting next to me, in his cap and gown as I was, is one of my best friends from my cross-country team. And during the assembly, both of us would try to guess who would win such and such an award or such and such a scholarship. He predicted that I would win the beautician scholarship. I predicted that he would win the nursing scholarship. And we skidded back and forth actually throughout the entire assembly until the final presentation, the presentation of the honor pin. Now, these were given to the outstanding man and woman of the class. And such an award, mainly because of the vague qualifications and the manner in which it was decided who the recipients were to be, determined by both faculty and students, these awards could never be won or achieved. No one could go out at the start of his senior year and try to win it. Well, both my friend and I kidded each other about our chances about being named the most outstanding male of the class, and as we were kidding, the principal read his name as the male recipient. Never before, or since, have I seen such a vocal and outgoing person shout and so quiet. The surprise of receiving an award without the vaguest notion of why or how is just written across his face. As I read the text before us this morning, I can see a similar surprise written across the faces of the righteous. Let us therefore consider for a while this morning their surprise, the surprise of righteousness. We first take note of this surprise as we read the puzzled reply of these righteous ones to Christ's opening remark. We can almost hear their bewilderment as they say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The surprise was caused not only by the assertion that they had done these merciful acts to Christ himself, but also by the assertion that these acts were actually done at all. As they were standing before the throne, the righteous were probably not thinking about all the deeds of righteousness that they had done through the Holy Spirit. Perhaps they were only thinking about all the hungry, thirsty, naked, sick people that they had met, that they had never helped. Going across their minds were the unkept promise to a friend that they would visit him in a hospital, the cold shoulder they had given to a stranger in their church, the old yet usable clothes that they threw out rather than giving them to the needy who really needed them, the refusal to invite a friend along to a gathering of friends because of a difference of opinion had separated him from them. They were reflecting, in other words, upon their failure, upon their sin. And if, in their minds, they did turn to the memories of the fruits of repentance which they had done in faith, surely they thought the sick person that they had visited or the prisoner in prison which they had gone to, certainly this person could not have been the risen and glorified Christ. And yet, the surprise is compounded by Christ's explanation. "To the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Who were these brothers of Christ? Christ had answered that question at another time in another place with the words, "Whoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother." In other words, one fellow believer in Christ is Christ's brother. But instead of explaining away their surprise, this explanation only compounds it. For when the righteous had shown love to each other, by fulfilling each other's spiritual, emotional, and physical needs, they had shown love to Christ himself. The most minute act of love was seen by Christ as great act of praise. When the righteous had even accepted each other, they had shown not only their acceptance to each other, but their acceptance of Christ himself. In applying this piece of scripture to ourselves, we too can become surprised. Surprised by the fact that Christ calls us the righteous. He declares us the righteous by an account of his suffering and death upon a cross in our stead, so that we might receive the forgiveness of our sins and God's own righteousness. He declares us righteous, so to make us sons and daughters of his heavenly Father. We are surprised by the fact that the guy, the woman, the child sitting next to you this morning is no less than a brother or sister of Christ himself, no matter who they are in our own eyes, and that they have been declared brother and sister of Christ because that they too have by faith alone received the forgiveness and sonship with the Father. We are surprised by the fact that when we accept them and show our acceptance of them through little acts like buying them a glass of beer over at the Brown Round, or cooking them a dinner in the dorm, or sharing some class notes, we are accepting, we are cooking a dinner for Christ himself. Now we might, like the rest of the righteous, remember at this point only our mistakes and missed opportunities. Having had 10 roommates over the past 8 years, I can remember the many misunderstandings, arguments, and outright sinful acts that I had committed against them, even against my present one. And some of them were indeed brothers to me in Christ. And when I had sinned against them, I realized suddenly that I had sinned against Christ himself. When any of us reject and sin against our brothers and sisters in the faith, we sin against Christ himself. And yet, once again, we are surprised to hear nothing from the lips of Christ concerning the damnable sins in which our sect. We hear only forgiving silence. We hear only the joyful recognition by Christ of these deeds done in faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in the faith, let us lovingly forgive one another our faults, our misdeeds, whether they be as small as playing the stereo too loud during the day or not getting the dinner ready on time in our home. And let us during the next week, especially during the next week, which is Thanksgiving, and during the next quarter too, give the good and proper worship, praise, and thanksgiving to God by fulfilling our brothers and sisters' physical needs of food, drink, sleep, and clothes, fulfilling their emotional needs of love and acceptance, showing them that they are a part of our seminary community, and fulfilling their spiritual needs, appearing the gospel message of the free forgiveness of their sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which enables us all to follow God's will for men. Let us do this to God's glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which indeed passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.